Good afternoon, everyone. I'm delighted to be here, and you can see what the title of my presentation is. I will not read it to you, but wanted to let you know that this is a classroom intervention, a fairly simple project, and I have no conflicts of interests to disclose or financial interests as well. And I need to thank the funders who allow me to have part of my salary paid by the U.S. Health Resources and Services Administration through an Iowa Geriatric Education Project funding. I think Paul Palmer is one of three or four currently funded chiropractic colleges that collaborate in geriatric education centers. Well, first of all, the topic of dementia for chiropractors isn't an easy sell, but I wanted to just say why we should care a little bit. We don't practice in a vacuum. The aging population is the fastest growing subset of the population, and not only those 65 or more, but 85 years old and older is the fastest growing subset of the population. So we will see more and more patients that are older. As well, Alzheimer's is the sixth leading cause of death in the United States, and as was mentioned earlier by Dr. Grand, that it's a huge public health impact in the billions of dollars per year, and by 2050, the cases now are about 5 million, but by 2050, we figure that we'll be about double the cases or more, about 12 million cases in the United States, which is a significant impact. And I just wanted to say, at this point, ask you in the audience, how many people have had a relative or older friend that has been impacted by dementia? By show of hands, more than three quarters of the audience, it will impact us all eventually, as far as at least knowing someone who is struggling with this or a family member. And I think that the doctor of chiropractic has a role, not necessarily to be a first-line treatment provider, but certainly to be aware of appropriate assessments, to identify a patient that's moved into the area of dementia, and as well to identify when it's appropriate to refer, and also what the patient would expect as far as treatments for dementia. So we need to know about all of those things. So in this project, the University of Iowa's Geriatric Education Center provides faculty who are experts in dementia, brings them to Palmer, and then does the training for our chiropractic students in this area as part of my healthy aging class or geriatrics class at Palmer. That's a ninth try class out of 10th try, so these are students who are already seeing patients. And the University of Iowa sends faculty when there's a topic that they feel is particularly important to assess, and those would be the topics of the three Ds, delirium, dementia, depression, which is what this talk is about, and also they do assessment and training related to polypharmacy and medication issues and send us a pharmacist from University of Iowa to talk to our students and do intervention on older patients in front of the classroom. So in this project, it was Drs. Smith and Schultz who came. Dr. Suzanne Schultz is the PI on this project in the Geriatric Education Center, and she is a specialist in medical specialist in geriatric disorders. And Dr. Marianne Smith, who is a University of Iowa PhD in nursing, who is a geropsych nurse, and she specializes in dementia care and has divulged to the class this last year that she is a graduate of Palmer Junior College way back in the day when we had a junior college, and our students get very tickled that we have one of our experts was a former Palmer student. They do case-based activity and in the healthy aging class and also try to make it as interactive as possible and using clinical dimensions as their focus, not really a research presentation at all. So why don't I just give the talk? I know the stuff. I could certainly do the stuff. I'm a contender, but like this, I would be the upper squirrel in this scenario here. Geriatric education centers always emphasize whenever possible to do interdisciplinary training, to train cross-disciplinarily, and so they send people and hope that they can train chiropractic students who are notoriously uniprofessionally trained. So that's a value. And students, I'm just going to speculate, I'm taking off my research hat, and say students will be more engaged in listening when it's not the regular professor. It just is what it is. You can't be a prophet in your own land, and when they have a special celebrity guest, they get all their party manners out and listen really, really well and are super engaged because they feel it's something important and special that they're listening to. and participating in. So our methods where we have three cohorts, we're fortunate at Palmer to have large cohorts of students go through. There's pluses and minuses to that. But we had a class of 100, a class of 75, which is the smallest I've ever taught, and then a class of 95 with a total cohort then of 270 students. The results were virtually indistinguishable between these three cohorts, so I've clumped them together for this presentation, and you'll just hear a group of 270 students. They did the educational, we did a pre-assessment, so the students fill out demographic information, and then they rank their knowledge on several topics, and then we do the intervention. And then they do a post-test after that. So we ask the students to rate their knowledge on a 5-point scale, with one being very low knowledge, two being low, three being moderate knowledge on this topic, four being high, and five being very high, recognizing early signs of mild cognitive impairment as their first question, identifying the overlap between depression and dementia, which are two major public health concerns in the aging adult, and then lastly ask them about their understanding of the risk factors of dementia and delirium, two of the three D's. So our results were that the students ranked themselves as having very low to low knowledge about cognitive impairment, what it would show up like. How would you know that it's mild and not dementia? How would you know that it's dementia and not something else, or delirium, or another type of confusion? So they ranked their knowledge quite low. As well, they ranked their knowledge exceedingly low in identifying the overlap between depression and dementia, and as well very low in identifying the risk factors for dementia and delirium. So we just had them do that quick rate yourself, then we had the classroom guests come in and do the training. On the post-assessment afterwards, the students ranked themselves high to very high, a 4.2 on that 5-point scale, in recognizing the early signs of cognitive impairment, and then it rated themselves moderate to high on their ability to identify the overlap between dementia and depression, and then understanding the risk factors for delirium and dementia, they rated themselves 3.8. And understand, a limitation is obviously that these are students ranking their own knowledge and going beyond that. Just visually presenting that the changes were significant in, you know, doubling or more their self-ranked knowledge on these three questions. Question one being the mild cognitive impairment, two being the overlap between the diseases of depression and dementia, and three about the risk factors. We also asked our students the question about the value, how valuable did they think that the interdisciplinary approach was versus me just doing a training on this. And the vast majority, and in fact almost all, aside from maybe three students, said that they really preferred having the expert in the field come and teach on this topic. They felt it was a better approach and rated it as well very highly. So that was the vast majority of the students. And some of the sample comments, and understand there were between 25 and 30 written comments that students voluntarily gave related to this activity in each cohort. So out of the 75 or so comments, these two themes emerged, and one was just that they felt that the dementia activity with the University of Iowa presenters was excellent, gaining a much greater appreciation of the importance identifying cognitive impairment in their patients, and then just that they felt that the speakers were very respectful and professional, and the case-based approach helped me to better understand and care for patients with dementia. So I appreciated that students gave lots of comments. Many of those I didn't share in this presentation, but can. In conclusion, these three cohorts perceived value not only in the interdisciplinary training related to these topics of dementia and depression, which I focused on here, but also with just a short intervention, the students perceived that their knowledge was quite significantly impacted. And we all know this is an important health concern. Some of you that know me know that that's your left-hand side in the black shirt, that's my mom, who is straddling that fence between mild cognitive impairment and early dementia. And this topic is becoming more and more important to me personally and professionally, as I think it will for many of you who experience more dementia close in yourself or in others around you. And my children have already diagnosed me as early cognitive loss, so pretty sure a few resources, and I appreciate your attention today.